Hello and welcome to Crippled System, episode 302. My name is Andy.
And I'm Dave.
I'm Nathan.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Anthony.
Anthony's got to get closer to the mic.
Yeah, get that fist, Anthony. Everyone's always too far away their first time. You got to get your mouth right up at the end.
My phone made noises.
Don't be scared, it won't bite you.
My phone's still making noises. No longer making noises.
Hey!
Hey.
302?
302.
We were
on
303.
No. 302 was supposed to be last week.
Oh, okay.
When we had the great hope of the Packers making it to the Super Bowl.
Hey, they outscored the Niners in the second half, and I'm sure that was skill, not because the Niners weren't trying to score, but were instead trying to run down the clock.
They could have just taken three penalties in a row, run off the clock.
It's bullshit. Bullshit. That's fine. We may not have made it to the Super Bowl, but the Patriots didn't make it to the playoffs, so it's still a successful season.
They made it to the playoffs.
No, they made it to the playoffs.
They didn't make it to
the wild card spot.
Yeah. They lost to the wild card. It's even better that way.
Does that count as the playoffs? I don't think that counts.
Yes.
Yeah. It does. It counts, counts for that.
That's how the playoffs work, yes.
Yeah.
I thought the winner of them was the wild card.
I'm thinking...
No.
I am thinking like Nathan, though, that it is...
Try not to think like me.
Yeah. It's might be scary.
No, it's because you have the four division winners and two wild cards make it to the playoffs.
Yeah.
And then you have the wild card round in which usually the wild card players could promptly get them eliminated.
It's usually one of the worst division leaders.
Yeah.
And then a couple of wild cards in there.
And then invariably you have one good wild card team and one terrible division winner, and somebody has to comment on the fact that the good wild card player is playing an away game into this terrible division winner. I think that happened with the Eagles this time.
Not the playoffs. It's a special week that doesn't count as the playoffs, but isn't the regular season.
Look, I think we can just celebrate that the Patriots lost one way or the other.
Yeah,
I agree.
LVO is going on right now.
Yes,
LVO is going on with all the limited armies possible in the.
nothing but infernals and anti-infernals.
Infernals, Grimkin. It's basically all limited edition, limited armies are the top tiers.
So Convergence is up in there? Minions?
Not all the limited armies are up.
Come on, Convergence. Convergence is so good.
I don't know why you sounded slightly drunk there. Well, but I would be...
Once they get Nemo 4 and Gatsby 4.
Nemo 4 and his little flippers.
That's why he sounded drunk. I mean, he plays Convergence. What else do you want?
That's true, too.
And, I mean, he lives in Wisconsin. I mean, you can't... I mean, the there's a Venn diagram, and the intersection there is drunk off your ass.
You think you could write a program where Convergence could play itself? Speaking of Skynet, we were earlier.
Probably.
Move mic closer. Thank you.
Shove it up in there.
Yeah.
I'm so far back from the table.
Yeah.
Yeah, but now you leaned back from the mic after I moved my foot. There you go. Now you're being sarcastic.
Now turn away from the mic to breathe.
Yeah.
Chocolate pants. I don't know why I said pants. I knew I didn't want to say rain. I wanted to say something else. But of all the things to possibly say, why pants?
I have absolutely no idea.
Because you're already in that mindset.
We have Eric and Anthony here. They're visiting. They went up to the beautiful Wisconsin Dells.
Which is
odd.
Usually you don't go up to the Wisconsin Dells in the middle of winter.
Well, you got to go skiing.
No, that's the point. Skiing. That's the point of going to the Wisconsin Dells is that they have indoor water parks that you can do that in the middle of winter.
That is true. Skip the water parks. We went skiing.
They got skiing. They got indoor water parks. They got Cruisin' Chubbies, unless it's currently shut down for drug dealing again. It's like an on and off kind of thing.
Cruisin' Chubbies is exactly what you think it is. So there you go.
And it's exactly the kind of place that gets shut down for drug dealing every once in a while.
We should have told you about this before, because you guys are leaving after this.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. It would have been good.
Unfortunately,
at least I didn't open Anthony's eyes with... He was buying cheese at the cheeseries up in the Dells where it's like $45 a pound for like cheddar. And I'm like, you go to the Piggly Wiggly and you get 10-year cheddar for like $12 a pound.
Speaking of, we did.
Yeah. I know. He told me he bought out my local Piggly Wiggly of the 10-year cheddar.
Take that. You'll never tell me anything again.
Every time I buy one and I'm like, don't make eye contact. They'll catch on. They'll catch on that you're getting 10-year cheddar for freaking less than $20 a pound.
Wisconsin.
I think it was 15 a pound.
Yeah. So you get a, you know, a good size half pound block for like $8, and it's like, are you shitting me? Like Kraft mild cheddar that doesn't even have a year, so you don't know what that even means, cost this much. Like, it's insane.
Oh yeah, it's amazing. When I first moved up here, I was listening to NPR and they were going on about A, that there were the World Cheese Championships, which I did not realize existed, and B, that Wisconsin just won them again.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a place to be.
Yeah.
Well, remember, I don't know where we'd rank now, but I remember once upon a time where I heard the statistic where if Wisconsin was a country by itself, it would be the third most cheese producing country on the planet. Like it's insane. Yeah. We know what we do and we do it well.
I mean, I think California actually produces more cheese than us. But,
absolutely, cheese and beer.
But per capita, there is zero comparison.
Right. They have passed us since then because they did a real hard push to become a cheese producing with that whole like happy cows, happy cheese or whatever. But their cheese is shit.
Still live in California.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now they're happy for other reasons and it's legal.
That's true.
Yeah, but here
would it be like Wagyu, where you feed the cow beer, and so you get the different meat. If you had stoned cows,
just stoned cows all the time.
Yeah, if you hotbox those cows like all day every day, do you think that the milk would taste different?
I bet you it would. I'm kind of curious.
Not sure it'd be good.
It's like how like honey tastes different depending on what the bees, the pollen they gather.
Depends on the quality of herb, I assume.
Yeah.
If you're hotboxing cows, you're probably using some low quality shit. I mean, you're not going to.
What if these cows smell like skunk?
Well, Pineapple Express and that shit.
Well, you know, I mean, if you charge enough for it, again, it's like Wagyu, where they charge like $400 a pound for the beef.
Yeah,
just pass it off to the next person that buys it.
Yeah, you're gonna get a nice, you know.
So that's what I mean. So that's what we gotta do. We need cheese with cheese by cows that that subsist on a diet of spotted cow. It'd be the most Wisconsin thing ever.
Yeah.
Of course, no. I have seen the most Wisconsin thing ever, and that was that I was at a Culver's around the holidays a couple of years ago, and they had a raffle. And they had a raffle for charity, and the winning prize for the charity raffle was an oil painting of Aaron Rodgers.
I'll allow it.
So I do have a Wisconsin question. Why is there so many like statues of cows on buildings?
What do you mean?
We went through New Glarus. I mean, there's just like cows on top of buildings.
No, I understand what you're saying. I'm asking why you're confused.
Well, why is that a thing?
You mean why isn't it a thing everywhere?
Yeah, we go with that.
Well, I mean,
put cows on your buildings in other states.
No, this thing is actually a thing everywhere. It's just that, I mean, several years ago, a bunch of cities did this thing where they had statues of things all over town, and it was stuff related to the city. So it's like in Wisconsin, it was cows, and then they did badgers for a while. But I mean,
there's Bucky badgers around Madison.
Yeah, there's Bucky badgers around Madison, and then cows in other places in Wisconsin. And in Kentucky, they have horse statues the same way.
Are they on top of buildings?
They're all over the place
like
and like decorated
hunt.
Differently.
Yeah. And I also noticed there was a lot of artwork on the barns, looked like Native American paintings on them. And I was like, well, they were like all through the countryside.
The Hicks things.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure what that was either.
Did you see some of the blue barns that are sponsored by Culver's as well? There's places that'll have
we did see a barn and then another barn and another barn.
Yeah, cows I thought weren't just a Wisconsin thing. Like I thought I remembered the parade of cows being in Chicago and stuff like that. I think that the fact that it's cows like was a coincidence, and then Wisconsin embraced it and made it a permanent thing.
Also, let me tell you the other thing. If you're not from around here and you were driving in a city in Wisconsin, count the number of bars you drive past, and you will be amazed.
You're assuming I will pass that.
Here we go. Cow Parade is an international public art exhibit that has featured in major world cities. Yeah, 1999 it was in Chicago. Spain in 2001. Latvia in 2002. Yeah. But Wisconsin saw that shit and they're like, oh, well, cows. We have to rip it off and have our own version that stays here permanently.
Yeah.
How could this be citation needed? Chicago, Illinois, 1999, citation needed. Like,
well, it's 20 years
the
old.
The city saw it.
It's 20
like,
years
old. It was
old.
In the newspapers.
Do you have eyewitnesses?
I saw a bunch of people parading about on the shore.
Bilbao, Spain in 2001. That's fine. No citation needed. But we're suspicious about that Chicago thing, even though that's where it started.
Oh, wow.
There's Dave's map.
I have to show off
the map. You should get that map tattooed just so you can more easily show it to people.
Yeah, like,
no, because then you'd post it on your Facebook wall.
Only if it's done badly.
It's the entire state.
This is Wisconsin in one image.
Yeah, we're right down here in the yellow to in brown, too, but not quite
Wisconsin
as dense.
Wisconsin has 2.7 times the bars as grocery St. Louis.
Right, well, we're...
Champaign-Urbana kind of area, yeah.
Actually, from Charleston, EIU, Eastern Illinois
That's
University.
In West Virginia.
And actually, Garoppolo went there, and he's playing in Super
Janine
Bowl.
Janine Garoppolo?
Yes. And Tony,
she was great in
Tony
Mystery
Romo.
Men.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The sequel of that one.
Didn't like her in that.
Oh,
that's
I
just
because
you're sexist.
She was the bowler, wasn't she?
Yes. Yeah. Her dad was the bowling ball.
Yeah.
She was good on the. She was great in the last good thing that Ben Stiller ever did, and the only good thing that Andy Dick was ever involved in. Actually, no. News Radio was good despite Andy Dick. But the Ben Stiller Show was good stuff. And then Ben Stiller went on to a career of only playing Ben Stiller in every movie he was ever in. But the Ben Stiller Show... Well, of course, because it was good.
Isn't she in Four Rooms?
Maybe.
I think she's like... They call the girls dorm room. And I think she's like...
Like the witch's coven room?
Somebody is calling just somebody's dorm room. I don't know exactly.
Oh, so she just has.
She was looking for the manager, I believe, or the guy was calling for the manager.
So she was playing Karen.
Maybe.
Which floor? So you're talking about Four Rooms, the little vignettes ones, right? Where the
yeah.
So never. You're just saying she just had a bit part. She wasn't one of the main vignettes.
Correct.
Okay.
I have a poster for that. I have the actual movie poster that was sent to theaters.
But you've never seen it.
I've never seen it.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
Case in point, Andy has
what are you talking about? I searched for it and found it on Amazon Prime. It is available for free for me to watch, but then I started watching The Boys.
I like Chat's idea of the massaging the cows with CBD oil.
Yeah any kind of oils and some herbs and
no you massage stuff. The cows with spotted cow. That's how you do it in Wisconsin.
You saw New Glarus, yeah. They just have the big tubs. They just put the cows in.
Like hot tubs.
Yeah.
Continued announcements, though. We are a week away from being a month away from the month of ATC and Adepticon. Follow that math.
Yeah, so that checks out. We're a month and a week away from ATC.
No. We're 2 months away from ATC.
Okay.
But a week from now, we'll be able to say that ATC is next month.
Okay.
But we'll be at the beginning of the month that ATC is at the end of the next month. But it'll be accurate to say next month, not in a month.
So it's about 9 weeks away.
Yeah, about.
Around there, yeah.
Okay.
I was incorrect, by the way. Mm-hmm. It was Marissa Tomei.
That makes more... Yes. Janine Garofalo and Marissa Tomei are easy to mix up.
Yeah.
They're not the same person?
No. Wow. No. I mean...
I guess I've never seen them both at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Have they ever been in the same movie?
I don't know. Well, they'd have to be in the same scene. Also, with CGI how it is now, you still wouldn't know.
Yeah.
I mean, did you see Jiminy Man?
Did I see what?
Jiminy Man? Jiminy Man?
Gemini Man?
Is that how it is? I thought it was Jiminy Man.
No, it's Gemini Man.
Oh, did you see Jiminy? How is it pronounced?
You were going really close to have a slur
Christmas?
Of some sort.
No, I'm not. Jiminy Christmas. Like
Jiminy Cricket, yes.
Okay. Did you see Jiminy Cricket
with Cricket Smith?
Yeah.
No, I didn't see it.
Did you see it in the 1080p 120 frames per second 4K that literally no theater in America has?
No.
Okay.
Did you see the bad? So they made a nice CGI version of Will Smith.
No, did you see the? No, they did not. No, they did not. I'm stopping you right there. They did not do a nice CGI version of Will Smith.
No. I was saying for Bad Boys for Life when they made the one that was just kind of came out a little wrong, the Martin Lawrence one.
Oh, I've heard that Bad Boys doesn't have as much of that hot threatening to rape and murder a child that I look for in my Bad Boys movies from the heroes.
Yeah, I mean, it's with a much heavier set to Martin Lawrence. Yeah. And less Michael Bay, so not as much explosions, but still has the feeling of a Michael Bay film. Kind of like Turtles did.
Turtles, man. Did anybody see the second one? I don't mean at the table. I mean, like, at all.
I think maybe.
Because they didn't, mercifully, they didn't make a third one, so I'm hoping no. Do you guys see Turtles?
Are we talking about the reboot Turtles?
Yeah, the live action one where Michelangelo talks about how much he wants to fuck April O'Neil and he loves Orange Crush. Those are the only two things he ever talks about.
So no, you didn't see no it? Pizza?
When did this
no, start? He loves fucking April O'Neil and Orange Crush.
You know
and what? She loves Skype. Big fan of Skype.
I'd like to say I think I saw it, but I don't remember anything about it if I did. So.
Well, that's blessed.
Yeah.
You should be happy about that.
I think I'm vaguely aware that the new reboot came out, and their turtles were talking about fucking, and that's like all I know about it.
You've heard it exactly what Nathan has talked about turtles then.
Pretty much. I mean, the Orange Crush is new information. The rest is not so much.
Listen, he just loves Orange Crush and wants to talk about it as much as possible. I'm sure there was no financial reason for this. Also, Skype is the best, and April O'Neil Skypes everybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When she called her friend on her phone, she Skyped her friend from her phone to talk to her. Nobody does that. Even like if you're going to FaceTime somebody, that's at least more reasonable.
I've done that.
Shut up. And that's just because Skype is sponsoring the podcast now. We were supposed to hide it.
That sounds like Orange Crushes, too, the amount of times said it.
So no longer Indie Storm.
He bragged... What?
I forgot to put up the advertisements.
In my work, actually, Skype is
the... You even have a nutritious, delicious Orange Crush right here for everybody to enjoy.
This is my Fanta Zero Peach.
Non-compete clause. You can't mention Fanta.
It's better than Crush anyway.
Holy shit! And then just cut to the, like...
just go to black.
The technical difficulties.
Especially the Zero Peach. That is good shit.
Yeah. Oh, the theater we just went to had... Pib instead of Dr. Pepper. And I always love a place that has Pib in their freestyle.
Was it
Dr.
Pib
Pepper.
Extra?
Well, yeah, because the original Mr. Pib was retired. So Pib Extra is the only version that you can get. Sadly. Mm. But it's still good stuff.
Did they have Sprite Lemonade at the freestyle machine there? That's good stuff.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what it is. The freestyle machine has got 120 some flavors. I only get one. So it doesn't matter what the others are.
Chat, we have Eric and Anthony. They are listeners. Eric has some kind of terminal disease, so he got a Make-A-Wish Foundation to be on the show. And Anthony was his sponsor.
I mean,
he's actually 11 years old. This is what the ravages of disease have done to him.
I'm very honored that he has chosen this show to be, but you could have had John Cena. I mean...
Yeah, well,
actually, John Cena is right here. He's slightly off camera.
I mean, come on, this all strains credibility because who would want to be on this cast?
Well, my first pick was Bill Pullman, but somebody actually booked him.
Yeah, damn it! And it's part of the disease. He's got this. I like crippled system. They're like, oh Jesus, no!
Looks like he's got a little Benjamin Button thing going on there too.
It'll be okay, kid.
Yeah, Dad.
Oh, apparently we're also sponsored by Fight in a Box. Seppi pay you to wear that?
Representing.
Less than three, Seppi. Less than three. That's how the kids these days communicate with their meme talk.
Oh, is it like I love you 3,000?
Oh, less than three.
I don't... Oh, yeah. Or it could be...
It's a proto-emoji.
Yeah, I know. Mm. What?
Emojis are best when you say them out loud. Colon, end parentheses, semicolon, capital P.
This is the greatest podcast ever. I'm glad my mic is barely working.
My wish came true.
Announcements.
Now
we
he
saw,
can die.
We saw a movie just now.
Well, we saw some other announcements.
Fuck that noise. What other announcements is there?
Steve Forge killed their pundit program again. What? Again. It was like maybe active for last year and a half or so. Now there's going to be champions.
What's a champion? Is it a pundit and they're just changing the name?
It's basically a pundit, except for you don't do pundit things. You are basically you're another arm of their marketing department.
Well, isn't a pundit just an arm of the marketing department?
Kind of.
Like, do you do demos and things like?
I think a pundit was mainly, the main reason is that they wanted to get away from football, but a pundit isn't like a football term.
It's just
somebody who has knowledge about said product.
No, it's not even somebody that has knowledge. It's somebody that has opinions.
Yeah.
I looked up the definition. It was
They're supposed to have knowledge, but opinion
supposed to
opinions. If you shout them loudly enough, count as knowledge.
Yes.
But like, is there to your knowledge? Is there a functional difference in the behavior of a champion with a pundit?
They'd be really talking more to the marketing department itself. I don't know. I don't know. I thought about maybe applying for it, and I just haven't really read through the fine print.
This is because they just decided it wouldn't work to have people called pundits working on God Tear.
Possibly. It seems odd, but yeah, it's our third iteration of the program.
Jesus. So Steamforge did that. Good job, Steamforge.
Yep. We have a Adepticon coming up.
Yay.
Yeah, I said that.
Yeah, but you didn't say it during the official announcements.
How was that not during the official announcement?
You just
he said it was an announcement, he was announcing Adepticon stuff. No, Nathan, you did not say that the ATC was at Adepticon, so Andy is technically correct.
I
the
said
best
we are
kind
a
of
week
correct.
Away. No, what the fuck are you talking about? I said we are a week away from being able to say that next month has ATC and Adepticon.
You did not add and Adepticon.
Yes, nope. I did. Nope. I remembered because I vividly was like, well, if I just say ATC, people are going to do exactly this shit. But apparently they were so excited to do exactly this shit that they ignored the fact that I said it anyway. Roll the tape. You'll hear it.
There's Why are you screaming at the 11-year-old child?
Fuck you, kid! He's going to be dead soon anyway. I'm not scared of some 11-year-old.
I have a week left.
I have a weak chin, so it'll even out. Oh, and some family gathering. I think it was my grandfather's funeral. Whatever, that's not topical. At some family gathering. remember what it was. We were all together, but then I remember that it was at my grandfather's funeral. But anyway, we were making fun of my cousin to my nephew, and you know, we're just talking about how much of a weakling Uncle Matt is. And, well, you know, technically first cousin once removed Matt, but you know, Uncle Matt. And we're talking about how weak he is, and how, like, you know, and then we're like, Connor, turn around, Matt'll hit you. And then of course Matt didn't do anything. But we're like, did you feel that, Connor? Did you feel that? And he's like, wow, he's so weak. So then finally he asked the sage question, though. It's kind of the reverse of the God Boulder question. He said, if Uncle Matt punched himself, would he die? Because he's so weak at punching that it can't hurt anybody, but he's so weak that anyone punching him would kill him.
Why can't we get him on the podcast?
Connor?
Yeah.
Connor's amazing.
Yeah, we should. That's like, you know, what if the Juggernauts met up with, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, could God make a stone so heavy he couldn't lift it? It's like, if Uncle Matt punched himself, would he die? We were all like, you know, Connor, I guess that's a hell of a
experiment.
Question.
See, this part of being a scientist, and it's like, yes, and it's like, that's an interesting question. Let's do it. Come on.
Connor's basically me, but with more ADHD, so you do not want that action.
Coming up February 1st, we have a War Machine steamroller event. I think it's over at Noble Night Games. Yep. We have a Guild Ball event on the 22nd of February.
Is there anything down in your guys' neck of the woods that you want to talk about?
No.
Well, okay then.
I mean, that's Eastern Illinois.
It's sad.
Well, you know, they might have had, like, you know, a pig race or something that they wanted to bring attention to. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I could
a corn detasseling celebration.
LGS.
I mean, it's the middle of winter. There's not even corn events going on there.
Fucking Illinois, literally the worst state.
We're barren right now.
Yeah. Plug your LGS.
In Champaign, just north of us, there is an LGS, Gopher Mafia Games. They have a pretty good meta, so they do play weekly in the War Machine, Riot Quest, and Munpak.
What are you snickering about?
Is
Gopher Mafia Games?
Is it just an inside joke just so they can answer their phone, Gopher Mafia?
It was Gopher Games, now it's Gopher Mafia Games. Yeah. I think it's because...
Like, did the Mafia merge with them, so they just, like, did the double thing, like, Fifth Third Bank?
I think they just couldn't use the same name because there were two guys in it, and then there was just one. But I don't know.
But are they embracing it? Like, do they have a mascot that's, like, a gopher, like, in the pinstripe suit with a Tommy gun?
Yeah. No, well, I will bring that up.
Oh, they need to have that. Yeah. You need to embrace the Gopher Mafia aspect of this. There is marketing available here.
check out their logo and see if they do have one.
We all can see the adorable gopher in the pinstripe suit suit with the tiny Tommy gun.
Yeah. Mine unfortunately is swifting to one of the weasels in Roger Rabbit.
Oh,
but I mean that's pretty much the image I have.
Oh. Yeah, make that happen. I get 10% of all merchandise profits.
I think it's just because they want to answer the phone of Gopher Mafia.
People call anymore?
Yeah. People call up the stores.
Oh yeah, see? They got the he's got the little fedora on his head. Yeah, so they went into it. They got the gopher with the fedora on his head.
It should be more like the weasel.
Sure, yeah. He looks really happy though. That is a one peppy mafioso.
Business is good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, Illinois is barren.
What would a gopher mafia even like deal in? Like squirrels, they got the nuts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Gophers got nuts.
Well, the boys do.
Yeah.
What a gophers even? They just dig holes and that's it.
Golf balls.
They go around fucking up people's lawns. Yeah, that's what I know.
That is fucking true. I had a gopher in my lawn this last summer. If he's still alive, I don't like brutally murdering wild animals, but he's definitely earning it.
There is one that's on the side of my house that he's been consistently making mounds that all I do is I just fill them in and I try to shove rocks in there too. Those fuckers. They dig around them. It's like, fuck, that hole's plugged. Let's make another hole.
Well, and there's those stupid trails. It's like straight out of a Bugs Bunny cartoon. There's like, you're like, you can see where he burrowed and it just like...
Those are more moles though.
Oh, I don't
Gophers
know,
usually
man.
Go deeper.
And we're back to nuts.
Mm-hmm. Big gopher.
A dog in a bathtub, but the nuts are going deep. Never mind. That's a
dog in a shower.
Yeah. Fucking Rick. Oh, dog in a bathtub. That's a fun time.
Do you know what a dog in a bathtub is?
I do not.
Look it up. Look it up as we talk about something else.
Oh boy.
Yep. Just look up dog in a bathtub.
It's like two girls and whatever that is.
No.
No, you
no.
I mean,
because I never watched that either.
Now, this is where we get demonetized, but we're not actually talking about it specifically, but if you really want to join in the conversation, Google dog in a bathtub.
Yeah.
And use the Urban Dictionary.
I mean, you know.
Because otherwise you might just get pictures of dogs in a bathtub.
Looks like there's memes of it.
Yeah. I mean, you could have two girls doing dog in a bathtub, but traditionally it involves a guy.
No, a dog in a bathtub is pretty much a guy.
Well, no. You just need to have testicles.
That's true.
You need at least one person with testicles, and the other person can really be anybody.
Fair enough.
Lance Armstrong can do it.
Yeah,
he could put a dog. He's gonna have an easier time doing it though.
Yeah,
because it says one or more.
Yeah,
why doesn't it say one or two? That's what I'm trying to.
Because some people might have more.
So we have a friend who's trying to use that term.
Chat's lying. I mentioned Adepticon. Ban that motherfucker.
we had a local, one of our great esteemed colleagues, trying to use it.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
He was trying to use that term, but called it dog in a shower.
Well, no. I mentioned it to him, but he didn't, you know... I don't know. Cell phones existed, but for some reason he didn't look it up then and there. And so then the next week he came back to the social gathering. He's like, Nathan, I checked when I got home and there's nothing called dog in a shower. So then he had to go home again after that social gathering. And then the following week, come back and go, oh, that's gross. So it took him 2 weeks to come back and respond.
Yeah.
True story. No announcements down in Illinois? Is your governor in prison yet again? Or is this one still free?
It's early yet.
Okay.
How many former two. Governors of are there literally two in prison right now?
Yes.
I've heard the joke that Illinois is going to build a gubernatorial suite at the prison, but they'd have to build two.
You have beers and cheese. We have corrupt governors.
Mm-hmm.
Our governors make our own license plates.
Yeah, and that is why I feel zero guilt about using the free lane at the toll roads.
Oh yeah, my wife has been a devotee of that. After we forgot to pay a toll and got the actual bill back, it's like, no, fuck these people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why, and the signage even supports it. I don't remember if this was on our way down to Warfare Weekend or if this was a trip with Raylene, but when you're driving, the sign saying go to the right to pay with cash has the cost, but the sign if you don't has no price listed. And to me, that's indicative that if you go to the right, it costs that much, and if you go forward, it doesn't cost anything. If going forward cost any money, they would have it on the sign.
It has a picture.
It says pass on it.
Correct.
So meaning you have to have a pass.
No, I pass. I pass on giving them any money. They're like, do you want to give us any money? I say, I pass.
Yeah, a couple of years ago at Adepticon, I passed three tolls coming back because they closed the toll booth. They said, well, you just got to pay those online.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, I don't know which ones I went to because I'm driving.
Yeah.
So I get home. It's
you're
like,
supposed to basically MapQuest and remember it. It's so dumb.
But you can put your license plate in and it tells you which ones you missed. So you search and it says, sorry, you can't search for like 14 days before it's in there, but you need to pay these within 14 days.
Yep.
So I waited and forgot, and my tolls were like $9, and it was $60 in late fees for it. And so that was this year, and the lady's like, I'm like, dang. She's like, oh, would you like to pay these from 2 years ago that we haven't billed you yet on?
Nah.
Sure.
No.
I'm like, why haven't you charged me for those? Oh, we don't know.
Yeah, so I got... I traveled to Indiana.
Why?
I had to go pick up a table.
Because it's not Illinois?
And you got a really awesome Blood Bowl table out of the deal.
I had to go pick up a table. Unfortunately, that was during the failed incident to go pick up the table because I forgot to measure the back of the door.
I mean, it gets worse than just going to Indiana because you have to go through Illinois to get there.
That is true. Yeah. So Indiana feels real good after passing through Illinois.
Pretty much.
Thank God.
So
unless it's Gary, Indiana.
Unless it's Gary, yes.
Yeah. So we were going through all the tolls, and I basically just told my driver, I said, yeah, we'll pay for those when we get back. And I forgot to pay them. And then I searched. We went through on like September 14th. I searched for the license plate on September 29th. So it was about 15 days after. They should be there. There were some tolls. I paid those tolls. And then about 2 months after that, we got a bill for like $180-some.
Yep.
Even though I had just searched.
That's weird. I've never gotten a bill for any of the times that I've gone through Illinois.
I paid for two of the tolls.
That I say that.
Two of the tolls that were on that trip itself and for a trip that was in June, that some tolls that they had missed. But for some odd reason, when I did the license plate search, none of those showed up, and that's bullshit. And I'm gonna
fight a nerdy that. Reference that popped in my head that I'm gonna let out of my head so other people, if they had the same thought, can enjoy it. When you mentioned the having 14 days to pay for your toll, but they don't show up for 14 days, it reminded me of the worst spell in D&D 5th edition that allows mages to wear heavy armor, and the spell lasts for 10 minutes, and donning heavy armor takes 10 minutes to do. So the spell wears out the instant you finish putting the armor on, and then you're fucked. Because you can't cast the spell again while you're wearing heavy armor because you no longer have the ability to cast spells while in heavy armor.
It's the thought that counts.
Yeah. It's the worst spell in D&D.
Which I will say one of the nice things about not living in Illinois is that they can't fucking extradite you for traffic violations. And so this was also a fantastic moment when I was driving down to War Machine Weekend a couple years ago that I got pulled over by a cop in Illinois for speeding and sort of looks at the license plate and says, okay, I'm just going to give you a warning. I'm like, okay. It's like, I'm not going to offer you a ticket. And I say, okay. And I'm thinking, it's like, not like I'd pay it anyway.
Right.
And they said, oh, and you're not going to have to show up for a court date. And I'm thinking, okay. And it's like, not like I would show up anyway.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, here's your warning. Thank you. And I waited until he had left the car until I just threw it out.
Yeah,
but
the ticket would have been a warning anyway.
Yeah.
Good old Illinois.
Yep.
Back to Eric's thing for about 2 years ago. There's no statute of limitations on traffic violations?
Last year at Adepticon.
Crime, so.
Yeah. Last year at Adepticon, I was going to... it was 2 years ago because it was when Andy and I stayed at Ben Ling's house. Mm-hmm. I was heading back and there was like a left turn lane. And I got on the left turn lane, but it turns out that lane was to go into the gas station, and that lane ended, and a new left turn lane immediately formed 10 feet later on the other side of the intersection to actually turn at the road. But there was that kind of like raised middle where it's like not a curb, but like the ground is like an inch higher like they sometimes have. And so I just kind of like, I'm like, oh shit, I didn't realize this was going to be the case. And by the time I realized it, I just went over that into the next left turn lane. So the cop pulled me over. And I explained what happened, and he's like, yeah, honest mistake. I'll just give you a warning on that. Not a big deal. But he pointed out that there were warrants for me, like in like all the surrounding counties because of like shit. And he's like, but not this one. So, you know, good luck. May the odds be in your favor.
They're supposed to call in on that to the other places.
Yeah, well, you know, he was just like, have fun. Yeah.
Which direction are you heading? I'll let them know.
Yeah, it was probably one of those that you reached him at the very end of his shift, and that's why he gave you a freebie, because he just wanted to go home.
Yeah. Good times.
Yep. So, hey, we all went to go see a movie.
Liar.
Well, except for Dave.
Yeah, no. 80% of us went to see a movie.
That's how math works.
And all of our old man bladders lasted through the entire movie, although at least three of us desperately had to make a break for it as soon as the credits started.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
So this is kind of where we tie into a little bit to be a pain train or so. We went to go see The Gentlemen, the newest offering from Guy Ritchie, famous for
the live action Aladdin.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, best known for the live-action Aladdin, yep. And Swept Away, starring Madonna.
Mm-hmm.
And also Sherlock Holmes was...
Yeah, but those are legitimately, like, movies that I would, you know...
Associate with Guy Ritchie.
Oh.
Swept Away and Aladdin and King Arthur are just... Well, King Arthur actually felt like a Guy Ritchie film. It was just very bizarre.
It was basically...
Was that the one with Sean Connery and everybody had fucking Starfleet uniforms?
No.
No, what the hell is that? I want to know what the movie this is. Starfleet King Arthur with Sean Connery?
He's talking about the fucking stupid one with Gerbil Boy. I couldn't think of his name.
Oh, yeah.
Ed Sheeran?
Pretty Woman guy.
Yeah.
Richard Gere.
Yeah, I think
Julia Roberts.
It's really sad that I can't remember.
Was it like White, The White Knight or White something like
First
that?
Night.
First Night.
Oh, yes. Yeah, First Night First existed. Night.
Yeah, I had to go see that. It was the worst. Is that the one you're thinking of?
Yeah, I think that was the one. Let me find it, because I swear they had the knights and King Arthur had Starfleet uniforms.
Possibly. It was...
Did they wear like that skirt thing that the Starfleet uniform has? What's the name they have for that thing?
Skirt thing?
Yeah, no, there's some weird Star Trek phrase for it. You'll see some people in Starfleet from Next Gen on, they're wearing like, it's not a separate skirt. It's almost more like a dress that comes down to about mid-thigh, and it's gender neutral. So people of yeah, that kind of looks Starfleet-y. But what the fuck is the name of that thing? Come on, guys. No Star Trek nerds at this table.
Oh.
I'll Google it. Talk amongst yourself.
Of course, Trump's Space Force also looks like the Star Trek insignia.
Yeah, yeah, yep. No, but we went to go see the wonderful movie of The Gentlemen, which I didn't see a single trailer for. I saw who was in it.
Scant, which I guess just now it occurred to me is a combination of skirt and pant. But
How much did that person get paid to make up that acronym?
But in the far-flung future of Star Trek, gender norms are now just wear whatever you want, and so people of all genders and lack thereof sometimes choose to wear the scant.
I don't know where I'm going to be able to cut this into slimming. Being its own pain train.
Scant.
So what did you think about the movie?
It was different. I wouldn't say it's my favorite Guy Ritchie film. It did come together at the end, which works out nicely. That's basically how, you know, he ties the bow on it at the very end with all the characters. I mean, I guess we're going to go into spoilers, but it doesn't matter.
Spoilers. I think it might be my second favorite Guy Ritchie film.
Behind Snatch?
No. Yes, Behind Snatch, yes. My brain for some second heard Snatch, but then processed Lock, Stock, which I think is overrated. But as far as... Just because, you know, freshman efforts off times are crude. But yeah, no, I really liked it. Snatch, of course, is still his best, but I at first thought the narration framing method, I wasn't going to like it. And it was done in a way that I actually ended up enjoying.
It's about the first movie that I actually like, Hugh Grant in.
Oh yeah, I was gonna mention that. He actually was pretty awesome in that role.
At first I was having a hard time picking out where Hugh Grant was.
Yeah.
And I realized he's been in front of my face the entire time.
It didn't take me that long, but like that character started talking. I'm like, who's this guy? Was he in the opening credits? Who's this guy that's talking? I don't recognize this person. And then, yeah, eventually I'm like, fuck, that's old Hugh Grant.
Yeah. This is weird.
He did a really good job with that, I think.
I think everybody did a really good job. McConaughey was solid.
I liked Colin Farrell a
yeah,
lot.
Yeah, Colin Farrell was great.
Yeah, I love that one.
Charlie Hunnam was solid.
Charlie
was very not Charlie Hunnam.
Yeah, and that felt good, finally. Yeah. I will say, though, is Colin Farrell usually acts really good in bad movies, and he's thank God he's actually in a good film this time. It's like, I don't think I've actually ever hated Colin Farrell in a film, but this movie was actually really good.
I'm thinking of the characters, the main characters. I think actually maybe the least favorite was McConaughey, but it was still fine.
Yeah, Yeah, I'm not sure. It's interesting that he was almost more just like a MacGuffin within his own story. Yeah. Like McConaughey didn't do a lot. The story just revolved around him. The only thing that slightly put me off is that I'm not sure if there was a moment that was unintentionally anti-Semitic, but that's really, really stretching it. The Pound of Flesh is from a Shakespeare play, and I believe that the main character is Jewish, and then it's oftentimes coded with the whole greed thing. Okay. And so having it come up again in this film, again involving a Jewish character... But again, that might just be way of a stretch in the back of my mind. Hmm. But when that happened, I'm like, is that problematic? I'm not sure if that's problematic. And then I shoved it back into my subconscious and moved on with it.
I didn't realize it was a thing. I didn't know that.
Am I wrong? How much do people know about the – because that's from – fuck.
But I'm going to Google that. I heard the reference, and I liked that it was in there.
Yeah, but I'm not sure if there's, you know
– if there was, I didn't pick up on that.
Yeah. Well, I know it wouldn't have been intentional. Right. It wouldn't have been like Guy Ritchie's like, I hate the Jews, so I'm going to have a Jewish character and I'm going to reference a story about a Jewish greedy merchant. And this way I can have my, you know, I know it would have been intentional. But in the back of my head, I was like, this might be accidentally problematic. But it was a cool scene anyway, so it's OK.
Yeah. Yeah. It's no Bricktop. Scene.
No. Never trust a man with a pig farm.
Yeah. Just I mean, like
pigs come up in this one.
Yes,
pigs,
they do.
Pigs do, yeah.
Well, I don't know if the pig came, but get it.
I really liked all the characters. I thought it was overall really solid.
What'd you think about the opening scene?
So the opening scene is supposed to be spoilers, I guess. I can't really discuss the opening scene without going full on into spoiler mode.
Was it what you thought? I mean,
I knew before came back.
I wasn't fooled.
And there's two reasons I knew. One, because there wasn't any way that was going to happen. Although it could happen as the ending. I mean, that's fine.
I thought it was going to be the end.
If what happened in the opening scene had actually happened, there would have been a massive issue with that being what happened, because suppressors exist and don't sound like that.
I didn't even pick up on that.
I missed that part. We see a gun with a suppressor, and then we hear a non-suppressed gunshot.
But I could also count that to them.
It could have just been an error, right? Yeah. So it happened, and I'm like, you know, I maybe would have been 50-50 whether the film would have actually come back to that. But that being, if it 50% came back to that, then there would have been an error. So it became 75-25. Because then within that 50-50, there's a 50-50 chance they would have fucked up.
Gotcha.
So that made me lean that way. But it still was possible that it wasn't a fake out and they just fucked up.
Yeah, I didn't even notice that. I've been attuned to films. Gunshot noise.
Oh, but films love to overcompensate the other way. Because suppressors don't silence, they suppress. That's why they're not called silencers. But in movies, somebody has a suppressor on it. It sounds like a mouse farting, right? Mm-hmm. Like, think about the shootout in John Wick 2 in the middle of the subway when they're just shooting at each other and nobody even notices, right? So if they take the time to show a suppressor, I was expecting just a... So to hear a loud bang, it's like, nah. They ain't going to do that shit.
Yeah, I didn't even put that together.
So that's a yes on the spoilers.
I actually, my, sorry, the, all the things that happened that they tried to try and veer us on, my original thought process, I knew that was going on, but then they send you on a trip on a roundabout way, and then you end up, and I'm like, oh, well, that's what I thought. But they actually, they did a good job of getting me off track and not thinking about it anymore until the end.
Yeah. The framing device I really liked. I mean, it's shot Guy Ritchie, you know. That, it does the Guy Ritchie style.
I thought the music was well done in it.
It was well done.
The way they placed it. And
there were subtitles, like, twice. Just and both times. Yeah, and it's like, it was kind of weird to just have it twice. Like, once was way out of place. Twice, it's like, all right, you're making a pattern of this. A third time would have made it a full stylistic theme. To just have it twice was a little weird to me.
Because one time, it just they said a phrase about the money.
Yeah.
And it subtitles they came on and told you what it meant.
Translated a slang, yeah. And it's like, I could have figured that out. Like, you didn't need to translate that slang.
And what was the other one?
The crabs.
Yeah, where it was
like my crabs. Yeah. Which was cute. And I guess maybe the third time counts if you count the whole film discussion where they actually kind of fourth wall broke-ish with changing formats, which was very stylistic, but was a different thing.
There might have been a like an extra scene or something like that with I don't remember the boss's name, but the guy who made the initial offer to buy the place, where he had already explained his crabs before, or who they were.
Yeah. Or, you know, I mean, again, it was like a pointing out a slang usage, right? Like, well, it was a tell, don't show.
Yeah, no, but I mean, there might have been like a scene or something like that was just chopped out that he didn't have that in. Like, oh, I'll just write on crayon here.
Right.
With arrows pointing to the two guys.
I was going to show, don't tell, but now I have to tell, so I might as well do it in a stylistic way.
Yeah. If somebody says, who the fuck are the crabs in the test screening? And then you're like, no, it's right here, literally drawn in crayon.
You can see him just sarcastic. Because this clear enough, asshole. Yeah. Do you understand now, fuckstick? I mean, it's goons. Yeah. But, you know, again, it wasn't bad. It was just weird that it just, like, didn't fully commit to it. You had one subtitle on slang. You had a second crayon drawing for a reference. Then you have just the one time when they stylistically break and show, like, film reels and stuff.
Yeah,
and then the
yeah,
rest the of the movie's beginning. Played straight.
Yeah.
And usually he smatters and sprinkles his fluffy stylistic stuff more evenly throughout.
Yeah, there's not a lot of like how he normally does like the quick scene changes where, you know, it's like going to Snatch, you know, where you have Dennis Farina, you know, popping in. The flight going, you know, like the quick cuts like that.
Yeah.
There was really none of that in this one.
Yeah. I guess there was a couple other moments where, like, he would introduce a character, have a scene happen, and then they're like, but that's not how it happens. And then they would, like, they literally one scene rewind, and another scene they just go, never mind, here it is. So, yeah, I guess there was more than I was remembering.
Was there subtitles when they were talking about the Russian oligarch?
I don't believe
did it freeze and like circle and say point and arrow to him?
I don't think so.
Maybe I'm just imagining that in my head.
I mean, it's definitely the kind of thing that you would remember in a Guy Ritchie film, whether it happened or not. But and one of the things I was thinking for like the first half of the film was that it was very much less jokey than like Snatch and stuff like that are. It was very, very straight faced. How it was going. It got a little more jokey once Colin Farrell and his crew came into it, and it kind of lightened it up more. But until that point, it was very, very like Mario Puzo style straight mafia drama.
Speaking of that, I wasn't sure I liked it at first, but when his crew, the fighters, were mentioning themselves, and then it came up with subtitles with their names.
Oh, yeah, well, because it was like a music video.
Yeah, and then they were saying what they were, and then those were the lyrics in the song at the part, and then it would go to the next one, you know, show a little clip of him, say his name, and then he'd say something, and then that would be the lyrics of the next video, the next part.
During that scene, what I was thinking was that music video scene was dumb as fuck, but That's because those guys are dumb as fuck, right? so it worked. Like, within the movie, it's like, this isn't the movie being bad. This is these idiots being idiots, and their little mini-movie is bad.
And but their heart
the
is
ones
in
like
the right
cartwheeling
place.
Through the air.
Yeah,
like, and you can imagine him being like, I want to show off my cartwheels during the music video, bruh.
I'm Ghost, because they never see me coming.
I'm Chin.
I was going to look up and see. I wanted to see if this was an actual band. I might do that now. But,
yeah.
But I, as I was stating earlier after the movie, the one of the lead singers of the band is actually... let's rewind. In the original credits at the beginning that was stating the actors, I saw Bugsy Malone. Well,
yep.
I'm not sure if you guys have ever seen Bugsy Malone, the old gangster.
Yep.
And that
I was thinking they must have brought him back, like that company is going to have Jimmy Dean star in a film.
Jimmy
You've
Dean?
Heard about that, right? There's some people making a movie, and James Dean, not Jimmy Dean, but they're like
sausages.
Yeah, they're like James Dean is the only person for this role, so they were going to just CGI James Dean a la Tarkin. So James Dean's family is like, the fuck you are, and so there's going to be this whole big thing.
Yeah, it wasn't going to be like a bit; it was going to be like
the
whole
main
movie.
Character. Yeah. And it's like, James Dean was only in like three movies, so you don't have a lot of shit to pull from if you're going to try to CGI this character. Also, he can't act. He's dead. Like, yeah.
Well, Bugsy Malone wasn't a person. Bagsy Malone was.
Yeah.
He was a mafia person.
Yeah.
So that I just thought of that reference when I saw it originally, and I thought that was interesting. I was like, oh, I wonder how many people know who Bugsy Malone is.
He's that's Post Malone's brother, right?
Maybe cousin.
Maybe.
Not enough tattoos, I believe.
Sure. Well, you know, it's like the evil brother and the good brother.
A tattoos hereditary?
Like Avatar and Black Wolf.
No, it's basically the Gemini Man version of him.
Yeah.
The yin to yang?
The awesome CGI version.
God. The problem with trying to do a CGI younger Will Smith is that Will Smith is already a CGI younger Will Smith of Will Smith. Right? So
that's
really
true.
What they had to do was have Will Smith still play young Will Smith and do a CGI old Will Smith.
So it's like Smithception?
Yeah. That's the museum? The Smithsonian?
Yeah, that's not the same.
Night at the Museum with Will Smith? What?
Well, it's like, how would you have a CGI 30-year-old Keanu Reeves, right? And say, well, that the actor one is the 50-year-old. It's like, the fuck he is? That guy's 27.
I got the perfect person that could have played those roles. Which you could have CGI'd and actually make it look right.
Yeah.
Val Kilmer.
No.
Because you'd have Fat Kilmer and then versus Goose Kilmer.
I thought you wanted Val Kilmer to play young Keanu Reeves. I was very confused by that. Because I was going to say, the correct person to get is Adam Driver, because he looks like somebody drew Keanu Reeves with the wrong hand. Does it not look like
it? Yeah.
Or at least they drew him from memory and they quick draw Keanu Reeves from memory. Fuck.
I like Adam Driver in almost everything that he's in. He's so good.
He carried the shit out of the sequel trilogy.
Yeah.
Oh god, yes.
Marriage Story's great. But man alive, does he look like somebody drew Keanu Reeves from memory with the wrong hand?
So what would you guys say for The Gentleman, though? I mean, would you guys recommend watching The Gentleman?
Like I said, nothing's going to top Snatch, but I full-on enjoyed it. I liked it more than I can remember liking a Guy Ritchie film in a long time.
I liked it way better than I thought. My favorite line in the entire movie was, there's fuckery afoot.
Oh, we know that.
Fuckery afoot.
That's right.
I mean, I liked it. It isn't my top. I mean, I have a weird set of Guy Ritchie films that I like. I mean, I like Snatch. Snatch is the top.
You love Swept Away with Madonna.
No, to be honest with you, I like Rock and Roll a lot. Rock and Roll is easily really up there in my Guy Ritchie films.
Which one's that?
Exactly.
With Mark Strong, Gerard Butler. It's got, what's his face? Katy Perry.
That's not the one with Clive, what's his name? That's basically like a Bugs Bunny cartoon.
No, that's Shoot 'Em Up. That's completely.
Okay.
Shoot 'Em Up could be a Guy Ritchie film, though, too. A little bit. Are you looking up to see who I'm.
No, I'm going into. I saw an article that ranked Guy Ritchie films based on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh.
And Revolver is at 15%.
Yeah, that's not a good film.
It is not. King Arthur is at 31%. Aladdin, solid 57.
I have not watched it.
Sherlock Holmes 2 is at 60%. Holy, so we're breaking in fresh here at Sherlock Holmes 2 at 60%, which I think is fair. Like, it's still a fun movie, but it kind of struggles in parts to try to top the first one.
Yeah.
I thought both were kind of iffy.
They're popcorn. Good popcorn films.
Rock and Rolla also at 60%.
Oh. But it's still fresh, right? 60 is fresh.
It is fresh.
Okay, good.
Man from U.N.C.L.E. 67%. I did enjoy that there was a Man from U.N.C.L.E. poster.
I saw in, that.
Yeah. I actually didn't see Man from U.N.C.L.E. I heard it was surprisingly good, but I just didn't bother because, again, I wasn't...
That's the one where he... No, that's not the one where he fist pumps the mustache. That was a...
What?
The, what's his name? Superman.
No, that... Oh, that, wait, that where was, he cocks his arms?
Yeah, and his mustache appear, goes away.
No, that's... Mission Impossible
Ghost Protocol.
Yeah, I was thinking it was...
Which like, I have not seen, but I want to see him.
Sherlock Holmes is 69%. Nice. Snatch is 73.
That's ranked third there.
Yeah, Lock, Stock is 75. And that I disagree, because I think people overly rate Lock, Stock just because it was so good for a debut effort. You know, it's kind of like, I do love Reservoir Dogs, and it's a great movie, but it is not Tarantino's best film,
no.
Right? But it is super good, and it's impressive how good it was for a first film. So I think it gets bumped up, you know.
Its importance versus how good it is?
Yeah, just like how, like, you're just like, whoa, wow, for a first impression, that's amazing. And it's like, then you forget the words for a first impression, and you just go, that's amazing. And it's like, well, you know, it has its issues.
It's like A Clockwork Orange.
I don't know what that means.
That people think it's great.
Number one via Rotten Tomatoes, The Gentlemen, 76%.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Now, as of this article, I don't know if it's still at 76. Yeah. I can check, but and I don't know what the fan ranking is at. But
let me mention the cast that's off of Rock and Rolla is Gerard Butler, Tom Wilkinson, Mark Strong, Thandie Newton, Idris Elba, Tom Hardy, Jeremy Piven, Ludacris. I'm just going over some.
I'm sure I've seen it before.
It's
all right. It's solid.
Yeah.
It's, you know, kapow.
You think The Gentleman would live up to multiple rewatches?
I think so.
Will it get better? Will it get... Some movies, the more you watch them, the better they get.
Especially once it kind of opens up more and you get, like, the scene at the crack den and you get the coach into the film and stuff like that and you get more of that Guy Ritchie snappy dialogue scenes. Those are going to be the fun stuff. The first 15, 20 minutes where it's really laying the pipe, to quote somebody in the film, is going to be kind of like, yeah, you know, this is the part that we get through. Yeah. Which kind of makes sense then that's the more stylistic part.
Once
like,
we get to
kind of keep you
coming
keep
through the pipe, yeah. To quote the same guy.
I felt it was a little slow, and I liked that they actually kind of brought that out.
Yeah.
Hugh Grant actually says that.
Yeah.
I mean, easily, I think the best part for the whole film for me is the coach. I think Coach and his cronies are the best part of the film. They did bring the most humor to it.
They are the comic relief.
They felt like if this was a crossover of Guy Ritchie universes, they were the ones from Snatch. Like, that's the universe those characters exist in.
Yeah, those are basically the Pikeys. I mean, not to use...
Well, and they even bring that up. The whole exchange about when the one guy calls the other guy a black cunt. And he's like, is that racist? And he's like, well, no, it's not. It's like that whole discussion.
You're black was great. And you're a cunt. It's factual, like, is what he said.
Yeah, but the fact that I'm black has nothing to do with the fact that I'm a cunt.
he's not saying all blacks are cunt. This is personally towards you. It's not being racist.
Also, if I may go further, I believe it was. But I just love the guy doesn't even deny either. He's just like, the fact that I'm black has nothing to do with the fact that I'm a cunt.
In fact, if I go any further, it may be in a term of endearment.
Yeah. But that kind of dialogue comes in after the first 20 minutes or so.
That did bring up a question that I had in my brain. I was like, do they say that word a lot in England?
Yeah, traditionally that's more of an Australian term, at least as far as we're concerned, but maybe England's picking up on it.
It's not considered as obscene in England as it is here.
I know America considers it the most obscene. Like, here it's insanely, you know, don't ever say that. But Australia, they just say it all the time.
Well, I mean, that's, I mean, in England, they haven't got, I mean, it's the traditional name for the main street in the red light district in old English cities is Gropecut Lane. And they haven't quite renamed all of them yet.
My guess is that it's entirely verboten in America. In England, they still consider it a swear word, so you wouldn't exactly say it in front of your mom at church.
Yeah.
And in Australia, they just sing it at children's birthday parties.
I just didn't know if they were just saying it continually, sort of like, what was the Western that said fuck all the time, like every other word?
Oh, Deadwood.
Deadwood.
Yeah, yeah. It's possible, but yeah, so it's still a swear word, but I don't... Australia, like I said, they don't even consider it a swear word.
Can I just say, I think it is amazing, and I say this as somebody that will spend hours reading articles on linguistics on Wikipedia, that since Roman times, we have swapped the vulgar and the correct term, because literally cunt is derived from the Latin cuni, which was the proper term for it, and the word vagina derives from the Latin vagina, which means sheath, which was the vulgar term for it.
Yep. Well, to correct you would be even more pedantic. It would come from the Latin vagina.
Sure.
Because you pronounce V's as W's.
I was just Googled, where is cunt allowed?
Oh, no. But they might not go with the word. Like, it's going to come back with, like, situations where,
No.
Again, I think verboten in America, swear word in England, jump casual cut. Conversation in Australia. And apparently scientific nomenclature in Rome.
I think in Australia you would be considered impolite if you didn't use it.
Correct. Like, if you meet up with some mates at the bar and you don't call them a cunt, so they'd be like, are you mad at me?
Yeah, something wrong?
So it's definitely a term.
You just called me mate. Yes. What's wrong? Well, yeah, joke. Mate, they say in Australia you call mates cunt and cunts mate.
Yeah.
If somebody's like,
The podcast I was listening to recently, it was just kind of talking about that. It's like, if you say mate, that means I'm basically angry with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Or something like that. Yeah. Cunt is a term of endearment.
Back but not here, so all of our American listeners are uncomfortable right now.
This is an interesting tangent we went on.
Moist.
Nothing's wrong with moist.
Nothing is wrong
Why
with moist.
Why do people... A cake is delicious and moist.
I was going to say Duncan Hines. I believe it's on the box.
Yes. Yeah. All right. I don't get why people don't like moist.
Back to the movie. I really thought the script was well done. The dialogue, I thought, was... I don't think... It didn't say, any of it sound forced to me. I really liked the dialogue.
Yeah, pretty much all the characters pretty much stayed true throughout the whole thing. Charlie Hunnam was actually much better than I expected throughout the film.
Everybody's a lot more polite than I thought they were going to be.
Gentlemen.
I really feel, though, that it's kind of sacrilegious to freeze a Wagyu steak.
Probably, yeah.
And you wouldn't pull it out frozen and throw it on a grill.
Yeah. And Wagyu, you want to really undercook because literally the fat melts in your mouth because of the protein levels and shit like that, but like it melts at under 98 degrees. So if you just put it in your mouth, so you don't need to cook it.
Yeah, you probably
just sear it a little bit. You leave it like if you like your meat medium rare, you do it super rare for Wagyu.
And that looks like what he did. He was searing them, and then he even cut it open to look inside and everything.
But just when he said it was in the freezer, I'm like, oh, you son of a bitch, that is sacrilegious.
Yeah, but he's got to have a reason for a freezer, and probably
And he had to get to the freezer for a reason.
We had to see the freezer. Plot
So. At one point, I thought they had the one scene that the guy had to do the pound of flesh, and then they went to the meat.
Well,
and
that's
I thought,
what you're meant to think of.
Okay, so was it? Okay, because I did.
You obviously want to put one and one together.
And then I was like, oh, no.
And question yourself. maybe not? Yeah. It was the implication was there. The imagery, if not the implication.
Yeah.
So was that a movie pain train, or was that just the opposite of a pain train?
That movie is fine. Yeah. Andy maintains that he claims that it's supposed to be films that might be good, and that he continues to pick movies that could only be shit.
That's what happens when you let me pick movies.
Well, I was shocked that we did not see Doolittle.
Yeah, that was the other option.
I put forward Doolittle, and Andy was like, I bought tickets to Gentlemen. I'm like, really? Andy, of all people, he didn't want to see Doolittle?
It's a new year.
Yeah, we didn't want to end our weekend on a Doolittle.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know, man. I don't think again. You are huge proponents of Malort, and Doolittle is the Malort of cinema.
Right, Jepson's Malort. I don't think it's going to be so bad. It was good. I think it was just going to be just so bad.
Dude, he pulls a bagpipe out of a dragon's anus. How can you not want to see that movie?
I mean, we can still see it.
Also, I don't know exactly what's going on with this part, but there was another.
Hold on a second. Shouldn't that be a cloaca?
I don't know. If maybe this dragon, you don't know what dragons have.
Is there air?
Are they reptiles?
Yeah, they would have a cloaca.
It would be a
cloaca. If they're a reptile, they'll have a cloaca. You don't know if a dragon's a reptile just because it looks like one. That's like saying a dolphin's a fish. Uh-huh. A dragon could be to reptiles what sea mammals, cetaceans, are to fish. Mm-hmm. So it could have a separate anus and genitals.
Dragon could be more a bird.
At least, I know that it has a separate anus and genitals because the film goes out of its way to have a bagpipe in its anus.
Also, we know that donkeys can fuck it.
That is also true. but I don't know the details of this, but I saw another review. I was looking at Rotten Tomatoes reviews for Doolittle, and there was one that was particularly horrified, so I clicked on it just because I wanted to read the review, but it was actually a YouTube video, so I didn't watch it because I was at a place where I couldn't listen. And one of the top comments pointed out like that the magic phrase within that YouTube video review was the phrase, "Can we talk about the vegetable sodomy?" And so I don't know the context for that phrase, but at some point in that movie, there's vegetable sodomy.
Oh my! I haven't even checked this. It's at 16% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh yeah, it's horrible. I mean, had we not had like guests come up to our area, we would have seen that. Are you guys disappointed that I didn't make you guys go see it?
No, I was happy to see what we saw. Okay, but if we would have came up a few weeks ago, we could have all went and watched Cats.
You would have seen Cats, but not Doolittle.
Yeah, because I think it's.
Cats is worth watching because of the sheer terribleness of it.
I know. I think that's to be trippy.
I don't think it's... Vegetable sodomy!
I was going to say, Nathan's got to watch it just to find out what that
pipe.
Is.
It's Sunday. Vegetable sodomy's...
Oh, polar bear that's always complaining about being cold. That's the height of the cleverness in Doolittle.
You seem to know way too much about this movie.
I research cinema. As a cinephile, I need to keep up on Doolittle.
No, I saw Cats on opening weekend because my wife wanted to see it.
Bad. Yeah. Hmm? Was it bad?
It was. Have you seen it?
The sexual twitching it was, and jerking, moaning.
It was remarkable at how many different parts of filmmaking it was bad at. Like, it's a CGI movie and the cinematography is bad, and I don't understand how that happens.
Isn't Judy Dench in it?
Yeah.
How did they get her?
And Idris Elba.
How did she say, okay, I'll do this?
I mean... I don't know. Like, maybe we want to make a movie based on the highest grossing or longest running or whatever its claim to fame currently is, Broadway shows of all time, right? And they're like, oh, well, the theater. And then they go in there, and it's fucking CGI, so they film them basically in their own little rooms. So
you can't tell how the movie's going to look until you get
there. You would think, though, is like when you're standing on set and there's just a green leotard orgy happening and they're claiming this is for the art of theater, there's got to be a point where you're just like, fuck it, I'm out.
I heard the scale goes real, like they're dancing on a train.
The train. Yeah, I had pointed that out.
So they're only like 4 inches tall, and then later they're...
Yeah, there's multiple of them side by side on a train rail, but then they'll sometimes be basically human size.
Yeah, and then there's the Lovecraftian scene about eating human-faced cockroaches. Mm-hmm.
Well, whilst unzipping your own skin to have different skin under it.
Yeah.
Now, there is a rational explanation for the size changing, though. And that is that the movie's shit. So when you think about that, it all makes sense.
And, I mean, there's this whole thing about taking a poem about how cats always seem to want to be on the other side of the door after you let them in or out and hypersexualizing it.
God, he just wants to fuck everything. Yeah, I heard there was
a lot
everything.
Of, like, licking and a lot of weird...
Yeah, but I mean, it is remarkable at how many different aspects of filmmaking it is bad at.
So which cat were you inexplicably, unwelcomingly, disturbingly aroused by? I heard everybody gets one.
He's a rum-tum tugger.
Well, sure, but who were you tugging your rum-tum to?
Were you aroused when that one finally exploded in midair?
Spoiler. Did
that one cat go up and just burst into...
Oh, I mean, that was one of the scenes where Mr. Mistopheles was flying through the air and throwing out bouquets of roses in just one of those scenes with the absolutely terrible cinematography. And yeah, right before that was one of the things that struck me as one of the worst things in the movie, because of course, I mean, most theaters still play movies at 24 hertz, and they had in the scene where Mr. Mistopheles had his song, as they panned across there, the pan was at such a speed that you could not comprehend it, that it was just that the scene was changing fast enough that your brain couldn't process it. And so it was like that pan, it's like you could tell, okay, they're panning, but it was, I mean, with the 24 hertz chunk on it, you couldn't tell what was going on. It was,
that'd be just better, like if you watched it at home, right, with your,
yeah, I mean, I don't know what the home version the hertz of it would be. But at 24 hertz, there was one scene that was completely...
movie hurts.
That movie definitely hurts.
Yeah.
We're all waiting for
more 24 hertz than that.
Oh, that's way... Yeah.
Yeah. Jeez. No, but I mean, this was, I could legitimately say, the highlight of the film was Taylor Swift, and that takes something.
She's talented. Excuse you back off. You back off of my Tay-Tay. 1984 is a great album. Great album.
So... Go see The Gentlemen, don't see Cats.
That's our
thing.
Yep, thanks. Yeah. And let these guys know if you see Doolittle what you think of it.
No, we're going to go see it. I don't know how, but we're going to do it, Nathan. You and I.
We could have seen it today.
Could have double featured.
It's a children's movie. The kid could have went to it.
Oh, we took him to an adult. Oh, shit.
Yeah. We took an 11-year-old to an R-rated movie.
It's okay.
What kind
I'm his father.
Father are you? Yeah.
And parental supervision.
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
Yeah, I think repeated watches of The Gentleman, it could be as good, if not better, than Snatch. I liked it.
Yeah. I mean, Snatch will always be amazing to me. I mean, I would rank this way up there. Like I said, this was... Right up there.
Better than you expected?
It's interesting.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because I expected it to be, you know...
Lock, stock level?
So there are a lot of artists that now, like, kind of coast, you know? They have their great moments, and then now they're just here, and they just, you know, do this, and they get their paychecks. And I expected it to be there, which isn't bad. You know, it's like, yeah, it's still okay. You know, yeah, you're getting the work done and, you know, you're good at what you do. But it's just like punching those checks. And it was back up there. It's like, yes, you are an auteur. You are someone with skill. And this is what you can do when you put effort into it. So I was very happy to see it up in that echelon.
It's very interesting the fact that most of his films are within almost 20% of each other.
Yeah, he's just got a couple bad ones, and then it jumps all the way up.
Then it jumps up to like 50s to 75, I think.
Yeah, because there was Revolver and Swept Away, and then it jumps to like 57.
Revolver tried. I remember watching Revolver.
Oh, no, I guess King Arthur was down in the 30s, but yeah.
Yeah, but it tried really hard, and it was just not.
Revolver's one of those things kind of like what I say David Lynch is like now, where Revolver felt like somebody who isn't Guy Ritchie trying to make a Guy Ritchie film, but not having Guy Ritchie's skill.
Sure, sure.
You know, and it's sad when somebody does that to themselves.
It's Jason Statham, isn't it?
It might have been. I don't even remember. I blocked it from my memory. But
all right. So, sorry.
Sorry, no. That's enough out of Gentlemen, apparently. Zappity Grumble.
Yeah, we'll jump to the Zappity Grumble.
Well, some of us have spousal dinners to go to.
Yeah. Yes, we do.
I do, too.
All right. So, Andrew Grove asks four questions here. There's going to be
Jesus,
a lot of
Andrew. There's some in chat, too.
There is?
Yeah, there were a couple up. Well, they're both on screen right now.
Oh.
You can come back to them, or if you want
we'll
to do them first,
them.
You don't
we'll
forget
come back
about
to them.
Them.
That's fine, unless right. Chat runs wild. Which fulfilled Kickstarter do you wish you were a backer of? So Nathan, you're like a backer of all the Kickstarters.
That's the problem, is I back too many of them.
Which one? So we could switch us up. Which one do you wish you didn't?
No. I'll say one that I wish I had, because I was just looking at the game on when I was grabbing games to visit you guys. One of the ones I looked at that jumped out at me, because it's a game that I enjoyed surprisingly much, was Heroes Wanted. And the expansion to it was a Kickstarter thing, and I did not back it. And I kind of regret not backing the expansion to Heroes Wanted.
I honestly can't think of any. Kickstarter guy.
Was it the Cthulhu? One of the Cthulhu games, the minis, it's got the giant Cthulhu.
Yeah.
That's also the board. I thought I had looked at backing that one, and it was like $150 to add on that Cthulhu. And I thought about it. Then I was like, oh, it's like $300 or $400 all in. I backed out. And then when I saw that 3 foot tall Cthulhu in person, oh, I regret not backing down now.
Yeah.
I mean,
I have one too. I think I would have liked to backed Scythe just for the artwork.
Sure, sure.
I probably wouldn't have been able to play the game with anybody trying to get people to sit together that many. But the artwork just looked amazing in the Kickstarter.
I guess also along, not necessarily on those lines, but I guess whatever. I didn't know about Darkest Dungeon when it was on Kickstarter. And so I'm a huge proponent of it, obviously. And if I had known about it back then, I would have been able to kickstart it. I would have gotten some of the Kickstarter exclusive stuff.
I was able to finagle a couple of my purchases from Kickstarters off of other people. So one of those was Deep Madness. It's a co-op dungeon, not really Dungeon Explorer, but it's a scenario-based game, and it is...
Well, they're not dungeons, but as far as, like, you know, tile layout and, you know, yeah.
But it's more of a scenario-based game, and, man, the minis are fucking beautiful. Yeah. It just makes me want to actually paint.
But you you didn't back it, but you got the Kickstarter stuff, so you didn't miss out on that. I got all the Kickstarter
stuff, yeah. But
so happy ending.
I didn't get one box that I've been trying to get off of Brian, and Brian refuses to sell it to me.
Bastard.
And it's not something I need either, so it's just a giant storage box for all the minis. I'm like, I can just use a different box, but yeah, no. It bothers me when I don't have everything for a Kickstarter.
I know that. David?
I honestly can't think of anything. I don't really spend any time on that. Kickstarter.
Fine, Zappity.
Grumble! Do you reach for the hard shell taco or soft?
I'm usually a hard. I like corn tortillas more than flour tortillas. So at Taco Bell, since they don't have a soft corn tortilla, I go with the hard shell. Although if you're eating Taco Bell while driving, you have to go soft shell or burritos because those hard shells will go fucking everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. At Taco Bell, hard shell, but at a Mexican restaurant, the corn soft shell.
Why not both?
The double decker? Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, for Taco Bell, I'd have to go with the double decker. In general, though, I'd prefer the soft. The actual taco style, not the full gringo special with the soft corn and lots of onions and cilantro.
Mm.
Yep.
I'm full gringo. I like just my soft shell flour tortillas. I can't do corn. I can do cornbread, but I can't do just like corn tortillas. It just has a texture that I just do not like.
I'm sorry.
Not a fan. Sorry.
I'll forgive you this time.
Yeah. Zappity.
Grumble.
If you were asked onto the Masked Singer, what would your costume be?
Oh man.
I'd be Voltron.
Now I want to be Voltron too.
Yeah. Just flat out. Just because most of those people are out there like, what the fuck is... Five lions.
Could just be like,
Voltron would be amazing, actually. Yeah.
I would I would want to have like a video shot of the suit going on. Like the one arm, the other arm, then the two legs, and then the headpiece come down. That would be amazing with the music going on in the background.
I don't think there's a better answer than that. No. Just
could I just be a sphere? Just have like a giant, somewhat translucent hamster ball.
Masked Singer Season 3 a week from today.
Maybe a disco ball.
Premieres right after some stupid shit that I don't care about. Although RIP Mr. Peanut. He'll come back a week from today. There's no way Mr. Peanut is dead.
are we done?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Did we all agree on anybody else?
You said Voltron is all you're doing.
I can't answer after that.
Yeah.
Can you just imagine the video shot of that? You know, of like both sleeves going on?
No. Please explain more.
No.
Could I be Kung Fui?
Hong Kong Fui?
Yeah, Hong Kong Fui. Yeah.
Like you
number one super Hong guy? Fui.
Yeah.
Could you jump out of a file cabinet at the beginning?
Yeah. You'd be my first scene, yeah. They bring out just a filing cabinet, roll it out there, and I jump out.
Nathan would be upset because his childhood has been destroyed by it.
Hong Kong Fui was not as good as I remembered. I'd be a sloth.
Just slowly moving into the...
Yeah. I'd sing every song at like half speed, all low tempo covered. Like take really poppy songs and then sing them like Ed Sheeran.
You wouldn't be a possum and just play dead up there?
That'd be great. A possum and just... No, laying on the ground.
He's nailed it.
You could just be a possum on the stage, and then somebody with like a stick with the microphone at the end of it just poking you with it, so you could be smoking. Yeah. All right, Zappity.
Grumble.
If the cast was on Gilligan's Island, which member would be which character? So we have five.
I call dibs on Skipper because of his endless rage.
Well, I guess I'm Gilligan because I'm the source of your endless rage.
Professor.
Well,
I'll take it. Okay.
Millionaire wife, which I don't know.
I'll be Ginger.
I'll be marrying him there.
Fair. Zappity.
I'm out.
When you transport painted minis, do you use foam or a shoebox? Or preferably not a cake pan?
Magnorax.
No.
Magnetized. Mm. But, yep, that is
you just put them
it.
All in a burlap sack. Thumping on. I would start doing that just to see the apoplexy in every single person when you get to the event.
Is that a callback to the first episode? Because we've had a burlap sackatorium.
I think it might be, yeah. The burlap sackatorium. You're right, yeah. Accidental callback. But it would be worth the damage to the minis just to infuriate people.
Well, I've always said that if I won the lottery, I would buy an entire army and I would just assemble it wrong.
Yeah.
Just to annoy people. You know, like my war jacks where they have like their foot coming out of their arm, their shoulder pad being on their crotch.
On one, they're standing on one hand with their head coming out of the other leg socket.
Yeah.
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 You would still be 100% privateer president.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And no one could take that away from me.
Well, you could also just dump all the bits on the base and dump super glue on it and let it harden. And it's like, yeah, that's Beasto 9.
Oh,
all parts are there.
No, mm-hmm. But it might say assembled.
What counts as assembled?
Just dumping the parts onto the thing.
They're all glued together.
Stuck to the base.
They're all glued together.
I would argue that that is probably not letter of the law, but somebody could not argue my shit assembled wrong is not letter of the law.
They're sewn together wrong. But
somebody put together in the army with the, so they had the special, the limited edition model where Thagrosh is painting a juggernaut.
Yeah.
And they took the little miniature juggernaut and put that on the base because it was all privateer press models and it clearly represented what it was supposed to be.
I'm so annoyed now because I know it's somebody we've interacted with multiple times, but they have an army of like eight of those. Like they had a Karchev army with just a bunch of juggernauts, all the tiny one.
Nice.
And like it's legal.
Yep. Back to Andy's. As long as you paint the arcs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll paint the arcs backwards from where the head is facing. It will actually be the other way.
That's too clean. It's got to be like a 37% rotation.
I mean, if you play Scorn, you already kind of do that in reverse. It's like okay, yep. This is its forward facing right on its butt. It's like
now
that's
we're
where
a Scorn meme.
Zabity.
Grumble.
What is your favorite pain train, and what is your most memorable pain train?
Never watched one. Next.
You never watched any of our pain trains?
No.
Oh. Did any of you guys watch it?
Yeah. I can't remember which one it was now. What are some of them you've done?
As far as films, to me, the most memorable one is I, Frankenstein, because there was just so much insanity in that movie that I'll never forget.
Oh, that was our first one.
Gods of Egypt, was that?
I don't think I, Frankenstein was our first one.
Yeah, I think
was
so.
Was it?
Yep.
And then unironically favorite movie that we watched, it has to be the Dwayne Johnson Hercules. That movie's actually fun.
Also,
were there other unironically good ones that I am
Swiss
forgetting
Army
that
Man.
They were we didn't pain train. I don't you and I saw that together. I guess it technically was a pain train, but yeah, that would be the best film, although I'm still torn on whether or not I like the last 30 seconds being in that movie. But the fact that I don't know, it's kind of like the Inception top. I'm not certain whether that movie's improved or degraded if you take out the last 30 seconds.
Was it Gods of Egypt, one of them you did?
Gods of Egypt, yeah.
I watched that one.
It was not good. I'm just saying it was better than I expected and less racist than I expected, but it was definitely not good.
So our pain trains consisted of episode one was I, Frankenstein.
What was the first one? Weird.
RoboCop. Rise of an Empire.
Oh, 300, baby.
Yeah.
Lucy. I used to get drunk to RoboCop.
Lucy. I forgot about Lucy. Oh, Lucy. That was so frustrating. Three little changes. Three little changes, and that movie's amazing.
The Legend of Hercules.
Great movie.
And then Hercules.
Not a great... Wait. Legend of Hercules, not a great movie. Hercules, yes, good.
Great movie, yep.
Legend of Hercules was so bad.
Dracula Untold.
Better left untold.
We did The Interview.
Oh, that counted as a patron? Then yeah, yep. that is unironically an amazing film.
Seventh Son or Jupiter Ascending. That was the coin flip in the parking lot.
We saw Seventh Son. Later on, I saw Jupiter Ascending, and good Lord, no.
That movie's trash.
It is trash.
I want to like it, but I can't.
It could have been an okay series, like if it had room to breathe. As is, it's sloppy and confusing and has random scenes that wish they were a Terry Gilliam film.
Yeah, and one guy had to die in it to make it at least somewhat better.
Like, it was so inexplicable.
He doesn't die in it.
Is that the Mila one?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, remember, that's why he wants to like it.
Bees can tell that you're royalty, and then they won't sting you, which I still don't get what happens if you abdicate in the middle of somebody else being stung.
Yeah. What's his name? Ed Stark.
Yeah.
The guy that dies in every movie.
They fake out his death like 3 times, including then having him redeem himself. And it's like, well, if you redeem yourself as a villain, you have to die. It's the rule, but nope.
Then he still didn't die.
Nope.
Giant Rock Monsters, the movie.
Oh, yes.
Which is Noah. Noah, the Witch Hunter, or the Last Witch Hunter.
Yes.
I like it. It's bad, but I like it.
I just love that it's Vin Diesel just desperate.
Like, playing his own D&D character. Yes.
Are you in
it? The movie only exists so that...
Mike, you're in it, aren't you?
No.
You look like the guy who fought him at the end. You know who I'm talking about?
There was that like crypt monster in there that I kind of remember liking the design of it, but I don't remember the details anymore.
I don't remember that much.
I block him from my memory.
King Arthur in Upgrade.
Upgrade, heck yeah, Upgrade.
Upgrade is a good film. So probably my favorite is, and I don't like the movie.
We have a better success percentage than I thought we did.
Yeah. The movie, I didn't like the movie that much, but I liked what happened and what came of it was the Ridiculous Six. The fact that I forgot to hit record on the video. So the first half of... The Ridiculous Six pain train was...
Puppets.
Was puppets.
Yeah.
Was basically stuffed animals giving the review for it.
The Ridiculous Six gave us Vanilla Ice as Mark Twain.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Shockingly amazing. That was so good. I'm like, how is Vanilla Ice as Mark Twain unironically good?
I was told not to watch that movie. Are you telling me to go see it?
No, okay. I am not telling you to go see it.
It's
like, oh man, I had to eat this big pile of feces and then I got punched in the head, but then I found a quarter. Like, I'm advising that finding a quarter is nice, but not if you have to do the rest of that stuff.
There is a great burrow feces sequence in it that's way too long.
Fucking A.
There's so much shit in that film.
Yes, literal and figurative. Jeez. Jesus, that movie. Fucking hell, Adam Sandler. And then you go to do shit like Uncut Gems.
Well, I hear he's just very angry throughout that film.
Which is fine. He's very angry in Punch Drunk Love, and that's the best thing he's ever done. So apparently when he is in a serious movie and is just very angry, it works out well.
I still like his trilogy of movies. I liked Happy Gilmore. I liked Billy Madison.
And you liked Little Nicky?
Little Daddy? Nicky. Yeah, Little Nicky.
Waterboy.
Waterboy. Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. I was 13 at the time. I think I enjoyed Waterboy as an idiot.
I still watched the Waterboy. It's actually...
I definitely enjoyed Fairies of Balk.
Yes,
sir.
I just posted a gif of her in that movie on somebody's Facebook today. Because somebody was like grumbling about something, and I posted the clip of her holding up the sign outside the window that says, "Want me to kill them?"
There we go. That's it for the Zappities and Grumbles. Okay. Unless it was on some tweets and I didn't see them.
Tweet twat.
For recommendations, I don't know if I've recommended this. It was a thing when we started this podcast 7 years ago. Almost Christ. 8 years ago. Go on YouTube and look up Craig Ferguson and watch his full-length shows. Because
they were so good.
Even though... actors and such that are on there,
the interviews are no longer timely.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You can just watch anything for it because they are great. Mm-hmm. Everything for Craig Ferguson is awesome. I watched a very early one with him without Jeff or Secretariat, even before when they had Twitter, jingles.
Yeah.
It was fucking amazing. It was one with the leaky ceiling. But yeah, go and
Craig Ferguson in general is really good.
Yeah.
We got to see his stand up when he came to Madison a couple years ago.
Right. I'm going to recommend picking back up Slay the Spire because the version 2.0 patch just came out 2 weeks ago. And if you are a PC gamer and not a filthy, unwashed console gamer, you have access to it now. And it has a handful of balance changes and a whole new class to play with that is a lot of fun. And it's cheap on Steam, and it's still part of the Xbox Game Pass, which so it's still a fantastic deal.
Okay. PC gaming is the worst way to play games, and the people who are stuck with it have to delude themselves into thinking that they're the master race when in reality they're inferior, but that's fine. speaking of console games being better. Says somebody that
can't even download Slay the Spire 2.0.
Mm-hmm. I could. I have a PC. I own Slay the Spire on it, but I would rather play it on a console because consoles are superior to PC in every single way, shape, and form. PCs are more expensive and harder to control with. And you can't. It's difficult to play a PC game while shitting, unless you have a very interesting setup in your office or your bathroom or both. Anyway, there is a arcade game called Killer Queen, which is a pretty rare one. It's hard to find, but it's around and it exists in places in bars, and it's a 5-on-5 team game that's like Joust meets Insanity, and it's phenomenal. And the Switch version, it drops it to 4-on-4. It's called Killer Queen Black. It's actually on sale this week for like $10, and I recommend picking up. It is a lot of fun. You are bees. And it's 4-on-4. Somebody's the queen. And then you other people, like as you die, you can come back as warriors or as workers. And it's neat because it has asymmetrical victory. You can win either by killing the opposing team's queen or by collecting 10? Some quantity of berries before the other team does. Or there's a snail on the bottom of the screen that you, if you're riding it, you can race it to one side or the other. And if the snail reaches your side, you win. So you have to balance these three possible victories, either aiming for them or preventing them all at the same time. It's super, super fucking awesome. If you are near a arcade version, go to that bar on whatever night they have Killer Queen tournament night, because I guarantee they do, because nobody has that cabinet without having an entire meta surrounding it, or at the very least get it on
it's a video
Switch.
Game.
Yeah, it's an arcade game that there's leagues and tournaments for. That's phenomenal if you have one close enough that you can play it. I know there's some in some bars in Chicago.
Is the music
none in Wisconsin,
by Queen?
Unfortunately,
is the music
not.
By Queen? Oh, that'd be great.
But is it in town?
I don't think there's one in town. I think Chicago's the closest we have a Killer Queen cabinet. But for $10 on sale right now, you can get the Switch version and play online / local. It's a lot of fun.
Sweet.
Because one of you was just talking about Joust as we were leaving the movie theater. I'm like, what a coincidence.
No, it was at the board game.
Joust was it the board game? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was at Noble Knight.
But yeah, so if you like Joust, you'll like Killer Queen Black.
All right, I got a recommendation, kind of also a plug. A friend of mine, Alex Wolf, has got a game coming on Kickstarter here February 4th. Mm-hmm. It is a gladiator deck building game called For Glory.
I've seen Facebook ads for that.
Yeah, I've liked it and shared some things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And basically, you're a ludus, and you're buying gladiators, you're buying tactics for the fights, and you're gaining patrons and influence. So it's all building up. I've play tested it 2 years ago at Protospiel, Minnesota, and we kind of play tested it from them. And I looked at the final components here at Gen Con mocked up prototypes that are really good, and it looks beautiful.
So don't let that be your answer for the previous Zappity Grumble if it's asked again a year from now.
So what is the game?
It's Games for Glory by Spielcraft Games. Formerly they were Crustacean Games, but lately they changed to Spielcraft Games for Glory. I'm excited.
Play tested
about
and
it.
Really liked it, and seen where it's happened. So that's February 4th.
Yeah,
Kickstarts
next week,
and that was my thunder. He stole, but that's
you
fine.
Can recommend Gentlemen because none of us actually did. If you don't recommend something
that
else,
would be
I'll
one
just
to see.
Have that'll count.
I think if I saw it again, I would be anticipating those scenes that were really really great and being it's coming.
Yeah, I think there's a lot we might have missed too that repeated watches will pick up.
Yeah, well, little things. And to that, little dialogue. I forget who said it, and I don't have the exact number, so I'll just say three, which is probably not what it was. Was it Stanislavski about plays? No, because I thought it was about film. Anyway, somebody said all you need for a great movie is three great scenes and zero bad ones. And this definitely ticks that itch. Like, there's definitely those few scenes that are like, that specific scene was amazing, and I can't point to a bad scene, and so that's what you need. Is peaks and no valleys.
Yeah.
Nope.
Now I'm going to go get a steak at Chili's with my wife.
I am hungry as well.
Well, thank you guys for having us up.
Yeah, thank you guys for coming.
You didn't recommend the Dells? Good old Wisconsin Dells.
Hidden gem.
All right. Go ahead and stop it. Thank you guys for listening and watching, and we'll see you guys next week.
Hey, remember when his Kickstarter game talked about patrons? You know?
Yeah.
That's a thing. Everybody likes people who are patrons. I'm just saying. Oh. Nothing's better than being a patron.
Yeah.
Just, you know, apropos of nothing.
There's fuckery afoot.